future of radio.
Nudge.
We've had to explain to our international audience that the boo is an American sign of respect.
I'm still recovering from the NBA draft, but there's a lot of crazy stuff going on in the association right now. Got to talk it out, I guess. It's kind of like therapy. And somebody I've talked to NBA with before, he's been on the show before. Doesn't write for NBA Trade Buzz anymore, though. He's got his own site. It's called PulseFeeds.com. Yes, Jesse Karangu is with me. How you doing, Jesse?
How you doing, man? It's been a while, but I'm glad to be here, Will. Thanks for having me, man.
Pleasure's all mine. Talk about Pulse Feeds real quick.
Pulse Feeds is basically a college entertainment website which seeks to entertain and inform college students. We break down really weird topics like what happened with the Supreme Court this week. We give you party stories, fun stories, sports stories, like everything you could expect, but from a college perspective.
That's Pulse Feeds with a Z, not an S, right?
Yes, sir.
I just want to make sure. Want to make sure you get the hits.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, man.
Speaking of hits, everybody's saying how big of a hit the NBA Finals was. Now, I'm kind of an old fuddy-duddy. I'm a fan of sports history. Tell me why this was the best NBA Finals series ever, if that's what you think. Because a lot of the younger crowd seems to think that.
I don't know. It's very hard to, like, put something into its place of saying ever because you got to look back in history. The Utah Jazz, Chicago Bulls, when Michael hits the jump shot at the last second from the free throw line. I mean, that was a great series. I mean, as low rated as it was, the Spurs-Detroit series was pretty good back in the day. I think that was in 04 or 03, something like that. There have been a lot of good series, but this was up there just because of the fact that you have a guy who wants to be the greatest of all time to ever play basketball, who's seeking to win his second championship, but there's a lot of people that are hitting on him that don't believe that he's capable of doing so. You have teammates of his that didn't step up, even though they're getting paid $19 million a year. You have, on the other side, a team full of veterans. Basically, what I would say about this series is that it was bought against built, which was what made this so compelling.
The storyline there, the bought versus built, was really good. There were some iconic moments in the series. My problem with the series, though, is you had four straight crappy games in a row.
Yeah, it was tough watching those blowouts, and it was especially tough. It seemed like at times people just gave up, and I understand it's an 82-game season plus playoffs plus finals, but it's the NBA Finals. You got to play to as much tenacity and strength as you can, and I just did not see that with those four games, which is why, despite the fact that it went to seven games, it wasn't really exciting, which is why I don't know if I can say it was the greatest of all time, but I can definitely say it was one of the greatest of all time.
It's some of the greatest moments of all time.
Oh, yeah, that Ray Allen three-pointer game six, I don't think anybody will ever forget that, where they were and their reaction after that happened. That was unbelievable, unmistakable. How did you feel about that?
I knew that once that happened, that the Spurs were toast, because the rule of game seven is, if they're tearing down as quickly as possible, your little celebration at the end of game six, you don't come back to win game seven. It never happens.
Yep. That's not just only basketball. That's in all sports.
Yeah, it seems like every time you blow game six, something happens to you.
It's just mentally. It's like you were this close to clinching greatness, and it all crumbles. Just
they had
like
a five-point lead with like 28 to go.
I was a big Heat fan, and I'm not ashamed to say it. I'm a bandwagon Heat fan. I became a Heat fan in the summer of 2010, whatever. I think that's what makes sports great, that we can bandwagon. I'm in the minority in that, but we'll talk about that another day. But I did not believe the Heat were going to pull it off. Even after Ray Allen did that three-pointer, I still was not a believer. But the fact that they were able to do that, I mean, some people say the NBA is full of conspiracy theories. I just think that was a miracle from God. That's the only thing I can say to explain how that happened, honestly.
Now, we're friends. We're on the honor system here, right?
Yeah.
You're a bandwagon Heat fan. Would you have left Game 6 early? Tell the truth. Come on.
Yeah, I would have left game six early.
At what point would you have left?
Probably, I would have been gone by the start of the fourth quarter, honestly.
Oh, come on.
I know, it's terrible, but I would have been thinking of avoiding traffic, trying to fall asleep so I can go to work the next day, and just I would have gave up. I'm not going to lie.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I can understand why a lot of fans would have left, because you don't want to see the other team celebrate in your building.
Plus, let's not forget the fact that they were setting up right in front
they
of
were.
Them. They had the trophy there. They had the president of the Spurs and a bunch of other officials, Bill Russell and David Stern. They were all there ready to start the whole ceremony. And, you know, when you're a fan of some, I mean, Miami fans in general, Miami sports fans aren't the best representation of what sports is about, but nobody wants to see their team lose, and I understand where they're coming from. Whether it was right or wrong, that's for you to decide, I guess, but come on. I mean, for you, for example, let's say the Vikings are in the Super Bowl and they're about to lose. I mean, you know, do you really want to, after rooting for them for so long, do you really want to see another team get crowned champion? Especially after the long drought that you guys have had.
The emotional part of me says I wouldn't want to see it, but the practical sports fan part of me, the objective sports fan part of me would say that you don't see a championship trophy celebration in person that often, even if it's at your expense. I mean, it would be like you could hide from it.
When it's your team, when it's your team. You can say that when it's somebody else's team, but when it's your team and you've been ride or die from day one, you know? It's tough.
That would be a tough decision. It's one of those things that you probably make at the last second. It's funny because all those Heat fans are trying to get back into the arena, and they weren't letting them back in.
Yeah.
It doesn't say anything on the ticket that you can't go back in. It doesn't say no re-entry on the ticket.
But that's just kind of common knowledge, though. Even at parties, you know, you can't go back in.
Do you guys talk about that at parties? Trying to get back into the arena when you leave early?
Yeah.
All right, so tell me about the Heat from this point forward, because everyone's talking about they were making funeral arrangements for the Miami Heat. They did in the Indiana series, and they were during the Spurs series, talking about what's going to happen to this team. I was saying that D-Wade's probably done, and they should build around Bosch and James. But now they've won back-to-back titles. Who in the East can contend with them? What are the Heat going to do to battle the new-look Brooklyn Nets, for example?
First of all, the Heat are making a big mistake, in my opinion. Pat Riley has already come out and said that he's bringing the whole crew back together. I don't think he was watching the finals series, though. The Heat were one or two mistakes away from losing and breaking up the big three. So I don't understand that. And because of the way they're structured with having no big men or barely any big men, I wouldn't call Chris Bosh a big man at all, because, yes, he can defend, he can rebound. But when it comes to who's more aggressive, who has more tenacity, Chris Bosh isn't that guy. He's great for viral videos and photo bombs, but when I think of an NBA big man, I do not think of Chris Bosh.
When I think of Chris Bosh, it's always about the Avion tequila party on Entourage, where he's bribing the bartenders $1,000 each if they'll go get his woman some vodka. That's Chris Bosh to me.
Yeah.
$1,000 for some vodka.
Did you see that Vine where he has confetti stuck in his mouth?
Yeah, I did see that.
It's hilarious. But as I was saying, you know, the biggest problem with the Heat, and it's been a problem, is that they have no big man. And, you know, the NBA is moving towards a movement of small ball where you don't have to be as big. With the way that the NBA is moving now, it's an ever-changing league, and I can almost guarantee, even though I'm a bandwagon Heat fan, I love LeBron to death, I can almost guarantee that the Heat will not make the finals next year, just because there's too many other teams that are hungry, that want that ring, that haven't been able to get that opportunity. It just can't happen because LeBron is not Superman.
So who knocks off Miami in the East then, if you say that they're not going to make the finals next year?
That's a great question. I wish I could tell you. Right now, I was tweeting about this earlier. It's between three teams right now. We have Chicago, who has Derrick Rose coming back, obviously, and they're always a force to be reckoned with. As we saw last year, I mean, they played pretty solid against the Nets without Derrick Rose. So imagine having their leader in the game back. Who knows what they could do? Obviously, this new move with Brooklyn, their biggest shortcoming is that they are pretty old, but experience is never a bad thing. So we have Brooklyn. You can't ever count out the New York Knicks. I mean, right now they're stuck in a hole right now because they have no way of moving anybody or trying to get any different weapons. But you can't ever count out Melo. We don't know what he's going to do. And obviously, Indiana. They've gone through a loss against the Heat twice. They've been denied a chance to go to the finals twice. I doubt that happens a third time. So it's between those four teams. Anybody can win the Eastern Conference Finals this year, but I doubt it's going to be the Heat.
There's always going to be ring chasers. They're going to be willing to sign for a lot less to go play with LeBron to try to get a ring. So if you need a big man, just try to find, like, Rashard Lewis, you know,
right. Guys
like him. You can find players like that.
What did Rashard do this year? He made the bench warm, but that's it.
I'm just throwing him out as an example.
Those ring chasers don't do much. It's a great added value that you have. I mean, Ray Allen was technically a ring chaser.
Mike Miller was a ring chaser,
and they are beneficial additions that you can add to your squad. But at the end of the day, if you don't have a team that is built to beat bigger teams that are emerging in the league, then you're toast. And I just don't see Miami coming out of that struggle. I mean, if it happens, then that's great. And, you know, my name's Jesse, not Nostradamus, but I just don't see it happening.
All right, so the NBA draft was a couple nights ago. Grandland had maybe the best headline I've seen, at least from Grandland anyway, where it said the NBA draft gets drunk. That was a crazy draft, wasn't it?
Yes, my favorite part had nothing to do with the draft. My favorite part was Doc Rivers versus Bill Simmons. That was epic.
I don't know why Doc is already antagonizing Clippers season ticket holders. I don't know what he's doing.
if you missed it, basically Bill Simmons believes that Doc Rivers gave up on the Celtics. Doc Rivers came back and basically called Bill Simmons an idiot, and Bill Simmons then came back again and said that he's lying. And the feud continues to go on. And Doc Rivers' son actually tweeted Bill Simmons and cussed him out. It's craziness.
In Hollywood Billy's defense, though, he's not the only guy that's come out and said that Doc saw the writing on the wall in Boston, knew they were going to rebuild, and decided he's going to go coach Chris Paul because that'd be a better gig. A lot of people have said that.
But what's wrong with that? Do you think there's something wrong with that? I mean, I don't know why people are so critical when it comes to the NBA. People were critical of LeBron because he saw the writing on the wall that Cleveland was not going to win a championship with the team that was there, so he left. People are critical of Doc Rivers for leaving, for wanting a championship. Isn't that what everybody pursues?
Doc's already got a title.
I mean, but that team wasn't going to win another title anytime soon.
No. Boston's set up right now. They're a 20-25 win team for a while. The way they're going to trade Rondo, it looks like now, too.
But I'm saying, even if they had kept everybody, that team was not going to win a title. So
no, but they're just going to be terrible now.
I think it's worth it just because, this new kid on the block named Andrew Wiggins, a Canadian, a small forward, he seems like he's going to be a monster in this league. So might as well throw your hands into the pot and go into the Wiggins sweepstakes and see if you can get the first pick in the NBA draft, or at least the second pick where you could get somebody like a Jabari Parker.
For next year?
Yeah, next year.
What teams in this year's draft made an impression on you, either good or bad? Like for me, Ben McLemore falling all the way to the Kings at 7, big steal for them.
That's terrible for Ben McLemore just because
yes, go Sacramento.
He already has a bunch of shooters, and the Kings are a team where you go to die, where you're a great college prospect, and you end up just failing at life when you go to the Knicks. Excuse me, the Kings.
Come on, you're not being fair. They're going to reboot that franchise in Sacramento. New ownership group taking over. The Wolves aren't there anymore.
We'll see. They are going to a new arena, right, in Sacramento. So it's always great to have a winning team when you're moving on to a new lifestyle, which is kind of what Brooklyn is doing right now.
Yeah, but teams picking high normally aren't winning teams. They have to draft guys to become winning teams.
I don't know. It just always seemed like the ultimate dungeon that prospects want to avoid. I mean, we saw Tyreek Evans go there and end up disappearing, falling off the face of the earth.
He's a me-first player, though.
DeMarcus Cousins, same thing. Jemmer Fredette, remember him?
Yeah.
In terms of your question, though, I would say the biggest steal of the draft is actually somebody who didn't get drafted. The fact that C.J. Leslie was signed to the Knicks, I think that was a big move for the Knicks because in this league, you can't get enough shooters.
No, and, you can't.
He's a stud that I think he's underrated right now, and I'm actually kind of disappointed, being that I watched a couple ACC games last season, kind of disappointed he didn't go drafted. But he's going to be somebody to watch out for, and I think he's going to emerge out of nowhere and become maybe not a superstar necessarily, but in terms of a team that disappointed me, the Bobcats, just because they're the Bobcats.
Cody Zeller?
Yeah, I didn't really like that move. I didn't really think they needed another big guy. And also, I kind of feel sad for Alex Len because Phoenix is another team similar to the Kings where prospects go to die. And Alex Len, I don't know if he's going to make much of his career now that he's going to the Phoenix Suns. I mean, he's going to get a bunch of good individual stats, but I don't know if he's a guy that can turn a whole franchise around.
How do you think my Timberwolves did? They were talking all before the draft about how they were going to get a shooting guard at 9, and then the top 3 shooting guards all come off the board really quick, with Caldwell Pope going to Detroit at 8, and then they trade down and they get Shabazz Muhammad at 14.
I didn't think it was, again, as I said, it wasn't bad. It wasn't good. It wasn't bad. He's a great athlete. He played for UCLA. The Timberwolves are another team where it can go either way. You don't know what's going to happen. I just think this whole draft in general was just a bunch of throwaways, in my opinion. So that's why I say it wasn't really a great pick. It wasn't a sexy pick, but it wasn't a bad pick either.
Funny thing about the NBA is I know they were talking about Dallas picking at 13, that Dallas really didn't have any value for that pick. That Jay Billis was talking about if they couldn't get a certain player, they were just going to try to dump the pick or they were going to use it for some European kid to stash overseas. I've never seen a league where top draft picks like that. This is the top half of the first round of the draft where these kind of picks are basically worthless to you. That's mind-boggling to me.
Yeah, it's interesting because in the NFL, the draft means everything, but...
Oh, God, fifth-round draft picks in the NFL mean more than some first-rounders in the NBA.
Yeah, and I mean, the fact that Brooklyn could throw away 4 draft picks for first-rounders, it shows you the value of the NBA draft. And I don't know whether it's the fact that these guys are coming out too early, which is why their game isn't developed as much, or... if it's the fact that, I guess, right now, prospects just aren't as good as they were back then. I don't know what it is, but the NBA draft this year and a couple of other years has just been really, it's just been there. It's not really good. It's not really bad. It's just throwaway. It's useless, you know? It's like a yard sale. You might find one or two things that are priceless, that are valuable, of value, that you could sell in the future or you could keep for a long time, but for the most part, it's all just junk.
Yeah, the Timberwolves sold the 26th pick for straight cash, homie. Just sold it. Sold the pick.
Exactly what I'm saying. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. This is an idea way out of left field. Maybe the draft should happen every 2 years. Who knows? Because it just seems like these prospects, either that or you got to change the age limit of when these guys come out. Because, as I said before, their game isn't developed and they don't know what they're doing when they first come into the league. They think they're going to be the biggest stars in the world and run the league. And
that's because they're told from a very young age how great they are, and no one will level with them.
Yeah.
And that's why they hit such a wall when they get to the top level, and they're not the best out there. They're not the player that everyone was saying they were.
I have a friend who played for a major Division I school, and he got drafted by the Cavaliers, I believe, and he's been a journeyman ever since.
What's his name?
I'm not going to do that to him. Yeah, I'm not going to do that to him. That's not fair.
I'll go look it up when we get off the air anyway, but I won't say.
Yeah, he's from Baltimore. I mean, I wouldn't really call him a friend. I'd call him like an associate or somebody I've been in contact with. I mean, he's just been a journeyman in the league just because his head is so overblown. I went to middle school with this guy, and from the minute he could dunk the ball, people were all over him. And now I wouldn't say he's a nobody, but he's not as good as he could be. And just because he's not humble enough to realize that if somebody tells you need to work on this part of your game, you need to work on it.
A lot of young guys don't want to hear it, though. They're too coddled. They want to hear how great they are all the time.
Exactly. One thing about Michael Jordan is, I mean, it's a story that's been told over and over again. He was cut by his high school team and...
that motivated him like nothing else ever did.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what made him who he is today.
Yeah, no one kissed Michael Jordan's ass.
Exactly. I mean, look, let's talk about you. Your radio career. I mean,
No. I don't think anyone has ever kissed my ass in 20 years of doing radio. And I'm not happy about that. That's a sore subject with me.
You're a very prolific radio host, but I'm sure you've gotten advice that has helped your career prosper. And it's what's made you so great.
Usually talk less is what they tell me is the best thing to do for my radio career.
But the point I'm trying to make in general is that if you have talent, it's great. But if you can't take advice and take heed of what you need to improve on, then your talent goes to waste, you know? And that's not just in basketball, that's in life. Listen to advice when you're being told.
Functional words of wisdom from a self-admitted bandwagon Miami Heat fan, Jesse Karangu. What's your website again?
PaulSeed.com, PaulSeeFeeDZ. It's been an honor. It's been a blast.
And we're friends, even though we never went to middle school together, right? If you know someone that plays professional sports, they're your friend. It doesn't matter how well you know them, they're your friend.
We'll put it that way then, I guess.
Jesse, thanks for coming on.
No problem.